Calling all saints. Calling all saints. Okay. Let's go to Jude, verse 4. Now it says, verse 3 says that we should earnestly contend for the faith. And verse 4 says, there were certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, ungodly men. Now, these, just because they said they were ungodly men, it didn't mean that they weren't born again. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. It says ungodly men. Why did he call them ungodly men? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. My term for that is promiscuous grace. And denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here in verse 4 that certain men had crept in the church unawares. However, these men, whoever these men were, they literally destroyed not faith, but they destroyed the faith of the early church. It caused them to begin to use faith as a tool instead of walking in the faith. The faith, you always fight for truth. You want truth. You don't want somebody's nice message. You want the truth. This is why whenever you sit down and counsel with me, I'm going to always tell you the truth. You may not like the truth, but you need to hear the truth. Amen? So whenever you come and if you want to correct me, bring the truth, not your opinion. I'll always listen to the truth. I may be suspect to your opinion, but I will always listen to the truth. Now, some people have these weird understandings of the truth, and we may have to go back and forth about that, but I will always listen to the truth. In my case, it was good-intending brothers and sisters that taught me wrong. The Apostle Peter, describing these same persons, says, who privately, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. See, their intent is to fleece you. Their intent is to get you to send a check for $19.95. See, I'm bringing all, I'm making all this relevant so that you'll see it. I know a pastor who became a multimillionaire going on television and selling his books, saying if you read this book, you will become this or you'll become that. The book is nothing more than the Word of God. Now, I don't have a problem with you making money off your books, okay? But listen, enough is enough already, okay? Enough is enough. Too many people are buying those books, but they're not walking in the faith. They are simply using faith as a tool. Tell the truth of what it truly is, amen? They professed the men, and these are the men in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, or also in Jude, verse 4. They profess to teach the Christian religion when in fact they denied some of its fundamental doctrines. They profess to be holy when in fact they were living most scandalous lives. See, this is really what's happening in the church today with television preachers and radio preachers. And the thing is, even on the internet, you start listening to that stuff, and before you know it, you'll be sending them a check for $19.95. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. This is why in this ministry, we give it all away. We don't sell anything in this ministry. Now, it doesn't mean that we never will. It doesn't mean that we won't write a book and use the proceeds to further the gospel. But that's not my commission. My commission now is to write a book and give it out for free. We're hoping to take these teaching here, make it into a manual, and give it out for free. But here's the problem that you have with flesh people, little flesh creatures, giving something for free. If you don't pay something for it, guess what? You don't put much value on it. So you'll take that book home like I did, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. One guy gave me that book three different times, and when I gave him that book, I put it to the side. Cleaning out my office one day, I found the copies of the book. You know how I read the book? He told me, go online and print it out this time, but go get it this time. And I did, and I read that book in a binder that thick, by 3 inches thick. When you print all the pages out, that's what you get. And I read that book from there when I had the original copy in my possession. See, I didn't put any value on it. So what I'm saying is that we want to give things away for free, but folks, the value is priceless. It really is. Not because I'm teaching it, I'm the author of it, but because the information in there, the information we're teaching here, we're not charging you to get in here. If you want to give an offering, that's good. But listen, it's priceless. If you gave a dollar, man, that's commendable. If you gave $1,000, that's commendable. But no matter what price you pay or what offering you give, you can't pay for this. It's priceless. It's priceless. Okay? Everything I've got that I've gotten spiritually, guess how I got most of it? For free. I got a lot of it from Dave Roberson Ministry, but you know where I got the majority of it? The Holy Ghost. And he didn't charge me one red dime, one red penny. And he's taught me a lot. For a few moments in Israel, let's take a time to study these men that deceive the church. If for no other reason than to find out what path we should not take. See, you can go on the same path on Christian television. We can go on the same path on Christian radio. You can go down the same path on YouTube. Don't shout me down now. The same path. We don't want our faith to suffer the same fate as the believer stolen through dead religion. The first one he talked about here in verse 13, I think it is, raging waves. We should not want our faith to suffer the same fate as the believers in Jews' day suffered. Their faith was literally stolen from them by dead religion. By men of the flesh, speaking with enticing words and flattery speech. Be careful for that, folks. I listened to a teaching the other day, and I mean this man was impeccable. If I told you who he was, you would go, I heard of him. And I mean, man, when we were listening to that teaching, it was impeccable. The man spoke eloquently, but there was no spiritual value in it at all. And I heard in that meeting, man, I took me a bank full of notes, man. Gosh, that was good. I'm going, there's no spiritual value in it at all. And the man was talking about being replenished, but he was talking about being replenished by outward means. I need to go on a vacation. I need to do something that causes me to relax. Brother, get in your prayer closet. You start worshiping God, you'll be replenished. That is the only true way to replenish your spiritual tank. It's the only true way. If you're getting you're being replenished by things of the world, you're filling the wrong tank. You're going to run on empty pretty soon. We won't see any miracles in your life. We won't see the power of God working in your life. Oh, you may have a large church. You may have a good business mind, but it'll all be by natural means. None of it'll be because you believe God. Now, you may say, I believe God for all of it. No, you didn't. Because you said, I believe God, and we're going to take up an offering. I'm sorry. Jude compared these ungodly men to raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. What was he talking about here? Well, what a wave does, it rises out of the ocean for a moment, puts on this display, this of foaming glory. But just as quickly as it comes in, it disappears. Back into the sea as though it never existed. Then Jude described these men as wandering stars in verse 13. He talked in verse 13 about wandering stars. How many have ever heard of the phenomenon called a shooting star? All of a sudden, a star flashes across the night in a particular blaze of glory, and then what happens? It quickly disappears. Back into the blackness where it came from. Similarly, these men with false intentions would first appear as a bright light of truth. There are a lot of hot ministries going on in Houston, Texas right now. Man, people said, man, these guys are what they call, they're trending. And I'm going, where is the message of the faith? Are they teaching that? Are they building you up? Or are they really playing with your emotions? See, that's what these men did in Jude. They played with your emotions. And see, anybody can play with your emotions. If they are educated enough, they can play with your emotions. But see, we want to speak to what? Your spirit. These men with false intentions would first appear as bright light of truth for a short season. See, that's what you're going to find with these ministries that pop up all of a sudden. Man, they're going to draw a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of glory. And then when you go there and go, my baby is brain dead. Can you come and heal her? Oh, that's when it's going to get real serious. Because you ain't got any power. You don't have any power. But not this group. We're going to teach you how to walk in that power. I just got a phone call during break. A guy says, my mother was in a bad accident last night, and she's brain dead. I said, what do you want me to believe? You want to believe me that she's going to heaven, or believe that she'll be healed? He goes, well, we just want to believe she'd go to heaven. That's your call. But I was ready to run down there and say, in Jesus' name, you will live and not die. You'll live and not die. You know, we continue to speak it over Miss Ranjana. She'll live and not die. Yes, they sent her home to be in hospice. Is that not correct? They put her in hospice?
Yes, I got some more information this morning. She's kind of like in a coma right now.
Well, we command her to come out of that coma.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. We speak life to her right now in Jesus' name. There's distance nor time in the realm of the spirit. We command her to have life. Now, the thing about Miss Ranjana is we need to find out whether she wants to fight or go home. See, she maybe want to go home, and we're just running against her wishes, but that's another story. Okay. Well, let me talk about going home. Now, I'm finna hit you real hard now. You don't want to go home and have not completed your assignment.
Amen.
If you haven't completed your assignment, you don't want to go home. You don't want to go home. First of all, you need to find out what it is. And then you know to need to complete it. Because you don't want to look in those eyes of Jesus, because he's going to go, do you know what I called you to do? And you're going to go, you called me to do something? Oh, it ain't going to be an oops moment. It's going to be far serious than that. You don't want to go home if you haven't completed your assignment. Let's go down to verse 12, back to verse 12. Clouds without water. These men are also called clouds without water. When a rain cloud appears in the sky, it appears it's going to bring much rain. It can even seem intimidating as though it's going to release a lot of rain. But then all of a sudden it vanishes to the sunlight because it has no water. Throughout the Bible, God has always likened the Holy Ghost to water. Look at John 7:37. Jesus said these words in the last days of that great feast. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Emphasis on the S, rivers. Not a river, but rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. In these verses, Jesus likens the Holy Spirit to rivers. Again, emphasis on the S, rivers of living water, flowing from our innermost being, John 7:38. Not one, but plural rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Do you know why they call the Dead Sea? Why the Dead Sea has the name Dead Sea? Does anybody know? Ronnie, you should live in that part of the country. Why is it called the Dead Sea? Huh? See, and that water just sits there. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't have an inlet. It doesn't get replenished. See. You need to be replenished on a daily basis by spending time with your Heavenly Father. through praying in tongues, private worship, meditation by assimilation. You should be feeding yourself every day. And if we have to force to feed you, then if you are a babe, then that's one thing. But if you've been around here for 2 or 3 years, we shouldn't be forcing you to feed you. You should be hungry. That's why God left us here. Well, I shouldn't say it that way, but one reason why God left us here is that these challenges would cause us to come to him, not to fall away from him. In these verses, John likens the Holy Spirit to water. So these clouds without water were men who stole the power of God from the early church. They crept in unawares, using doctrines of men to steal the faith. Of believers until there was no faith left at all. Until the church plunged into the dark ages, having lost the faith to a large extent for hundreds of years. Those of you that are history buffs, there's a young man over here, he's a history buff. But there was dark ages where there was no word at all. It was like the Dead Sea. Listen, if we don't do something, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are not activists because you think that you shouldn't be an activist, you need to rise up because we could become a Dead Sea here in this nation. If we don't rise up, all of our rights are going to be taken from us. And it's going to be illegal to have a meeting like this. Whether everybody here believes what I'm talking about, but just the fact that we're espousing it is going to be antichrist. Well, I just don't have time to vote. Okay, let me give you an illustration. Let's say Robert and I said, Robert, hop in my car, let's go for a little ride. He goes, yeah, okay, yeah. He hops in, and I stop at a bank, and I say, Robert, I'm going to go in for a second, and I'll be right out. So he assumes I'm going to go in and, you know, make a deposit or take out some money. Well, I take out some money, all right. I come out with guns blazing, mask on, and I said, Robert, you ready? He goes, ready for what? I said, we got to run now, man. I just robbed the bank. Well, guess what? He is just as guilty as I am. Don't shout me down. When you don't vote against these things, you're just as guilty as the person that votes against them. I hear that kind of hard. I understand that. You are called an accomplice. Well, I just don't believe I should vote. I don't believe in voting. One vote cancels another vote. Okay. You will give an account of these things in heaven. God gave you the right to vote in a nation where your vote would count. And you're taking it as though it never existed. Okay, enough on the political scene. In a drought, a cloud without water may look good coming over the horizon. It may look promising. It may put on a good show as it drifts overhead. But when it comes to producing the needed rain, the cloud is powerless to do so. Why? Because it has no water. So now remember this. Here's what we've learned from Jude chapter 3. The first criteria to walking in the power of God is that I must be a cloud with water. Just put that in place and hang on to it. In other words, I must be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me take a sidebar here. There were people back in the 80s and 90s that said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got the baptism. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Couldn't be further from the truth. Yeah, I want you to get real mad at that statement for a second. I want you to really stir you up. Just because you've received the baptism doesn't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean that. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to tell you why. Gosh, it got quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Everybody's going, where is he going with this? I mean, you ought to see, I'm looking, I got eyes this big going, has he lost his mind? Just hang in there. Just hang in there. Oh, I'm setting it up, and I'm getting to the point in here in a minute. Okay? Trust me, I'm not going to leave you this way, but I want you to think about it. In other words, I must be full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is the only one that can properly raise this contending in my life. He is the only one, the Holy Ghost, that is qualified from the inside of me that can properly remove or mortify those things from my life that kept me from properly contending for the faith. Now, hang on. I'm not going to leave you in suspicion very long. But evidently, just having the Holy Ghost isn't enough. I'm asking you a question now. See, I don't teach something that I don't prove. I used to think that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was all I needed to automatically see God's power released in my life. Wrong. Big error. Yeah, I know I'm shouting, but I want to get across the tape. That's the biggest lie you can hear from your flesh, from the devil, or from the world. It's the biggest lie. And we have bought this thing for over 40 years, and it's perpetuating throughout the church. I speak in tongues. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. No, you're not. I know people who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost for 40 years. But if you measured the power of the Holy Spirit by the fruit of their lives, you would come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit has no power at all. God, I'm nailing it now. I know you ain't going to shout amen, but that's okay with me. I don't need it. I already know where I'm headed with this thing. It's already changed me. I'm not going back. I have learned from experience that even though I was a cloud with water, even though I had been filled with the Holy Spirit, there still must be something I had to do to walk in the power of God. Just having the Holy Spirit isn't enough. There had to be a way to release him on the inside of me. Now I'm going to flush you out right now. Every time I see you going through a problem, you're going through a test and a trial, here's the first question that comes to my life. How much time do you spend time praying in them other tongues? Now, I meant that. How much time do you spend in private worship? See, your testimony should be, Pastor, I'm going through something, but I'm winning. I'm winning, man. I'm winning. Why? Did some angel stop by my house and go, you're winning? No, because the word told me I would win. He called me a victor. Remember, the faith is who I have become now that Jesus has become my king. That's who I am. Well, just because I'm going through a problem, am I now a loser? No, I'm still a winner. And I can't allow the circumstances to tell me I'm not. Because that's why it's coming. It's to convince me, just take that crown off. Just throw that crown down because you ain't no king. And you'd be surprised how many Christians just tossing the crowns off. And here's what happens. Church attendance go down. What are we going to do? We got to go out and we got to advertise? No. Get the church back on its knees. Make it a place where people can come and be taught, and they'll come. Amen. I'm telling you this. The world is getting to a place. You're going to try to find God, and you're going to knock on different doors, and you're going to keep finding false religion, false religion, false religion, and then you're going to give up and say, is God real? Get a hold of it now while you can. Amen. While you have this moment, you take a hold of this stuff now. Don't wait until we get to the place where you got to start looking for the truth. Know it now. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, this stuff is coming out of me. Whew. This is good. Let's go on. Just having the Holy Spirit wasn't enough. There had to be a way to release him on the inside of me. There had to be a way to get all that the Holy Ghost, all the Holy Ghost power out of my spirit onto the problems that needed to be overcome. Many times before, as I sat in the service listening to a minister preaching the gospel, I wanted to raise my hand and say, excuse me, Mr. Evangelist, but the Holy Spirit that you're talking about, the one who moved on the face of the deep, is he the same one who now abides inside of me? And what would that pastor say? Yeah. Why, yes, he is, son. Well, then I would ask Mr. Pastor, teacher, would you please tell me how to get all of that power that he possesses out of my spirit and loosed on my problem? Because up until now, the common cold has whipped me. In his response to this question, there is a way to release the power on the inside of you. And today, you too will find out that there is a way to release this power on the inside of you. And it is just as deliberate and as power releasing as you want it to be in your life. It's deliberate. It's not something you try to do. It's something that you do. And it is power releasing in you. It's a law that means it happens every single time. How many of you know about the law of gravity? Y'all know about the law of gravity? If I let go of these keys, what happens? Let me ask you a question. Why is it called the law of gravity? Because it happens every single time. That may be annoying to the recording, I'm sorry, but it happens every time. The power that God put in you, that the Father put in you when you got born again, that power can be released out of you every single time, in every circumstance, every single time. It's a law. It never fails. Well, Pastor, I tried to release it and it didn't work. Okay, let me do it again. It works every single time. It never fails. It never fails. Now, I don't know what happened to you. All I can tell you is this. You must not have known how to release that power on the inside of you. So don't go anywhere after the break, because I want to make sure you find out how to do it. Jude had more to say in verse 19 about these clouds without water that had crept in to the church unawares. It says, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." These ungodly men, verse 19, these ungodly men, clouds without water, who separate themselves are sensual or sense rule. Let me spend just a minute on this, what it means to be sensual. I told one lady one time, I said, "You're too sensual." Man, she must have torn into me for about 5 minutes, and I just sat there and listened. I have depression, and you don't understand, and you're just not caring, and you call yourself a pastor. I let her go on. And when she calmed down, I said, "Like I said, you're sensual." That proves it. And her jaw just dropped and went, "Is that what that means?" That's exactly what it means, sister. It's exactly what it means. Sensual means you respond because of how you feel, what your emotions are telling you, the anger within you, the hurt that you're feeling. You respond out of that stuff. That's what it means to be sensual. Something bad happens and you go, "How could God let this happen to me? This is Elvin. I'm your boy, man." You're responding emotionally. God doesn't respond to that. He's not the father of your emotions. He's the father of the forces that are in you. Sensual. Same thing for carnality. It means, now I used to say this and people get mad at me. I used to call them, when you were carnal, I used to call you a meathead, because that's really what it means. But people got offended by that, so I quit saying it. But basically, it means your sense rules. It means you let your emotions tell you, "I don't feel like going to church this morning. I don't feel like praying in tongues. I just don't think I should worship God anymore. I just don't see anything happening." Your sense ruled. That means they were dominated more by the carnal appetites of the flesh than they were the word of God. It goes on to say that they had not the Spirit. Yes, these men did not Yes, these men did not have the Holy Ghost in operation in their lives, but yet they had the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Therefore, they were separated from the truth by the devil and by carnality and the lust of the flesh. So evidently, being filled with the Holy Spirit must have something to do with not being dominated by the flesh or sensuality. It must have something to do with whether disease stops me or whether I stop the disease. Somehow, there must be a way to release the Holy Spirit in my life, so that instead of poverty paralyzing my progress, I turn around and I stop financial lack in its tracks. The operation of the Holy Spirit in my life, in your life, is absolutely necessary to be free of the flesh dominated or sensual life. You have to have the operation of the Spirit. Most Christians in the church are more moved by what they see, what they hear, what they feel, than they are by the word of God. Well, Pastor, I don't think that's true. Well, then why is there so much strife and division in the church? Why is there so much strife and division in the staff members? Why is there so much strife and division amongst pastors? Let's sit there for a minute. No, they're sense ruled. Jealousy is sense ruled, but they're sense ruled. I want to nail this thing. They're sense ruled. You're moved by feelings. You're not moved by the word of God. And the reason you're moved by feelings is because you haven't spent enough time before God to remove the stuff the world put in you that causes you to yield to that stuff. It's not really your fault. I'm not holding you at fault, but I am holding you responsible for getting rid of it. That's my job this morning to tell you. It's not your fault, but you are responsible for getting rid of it. Why? Because God put the teacher inside of you. Amen. You can get rid of it. You don't have to stay that way. You can get rid of it. Amen. Man, when I found that out, I said, somebody tell me how. Show me how. And that's when I begin to realize it's called praying in the mother tongue. And be edified. And the thing is, ladies, when you start cleaning your house, what's the first thing you do? You start pulling stuff out, moving furniture around. The husband comes in while you're cleaning stuff up, and he'll go, it looks worse than it was before you started. And you go, don't worry about it, mister. It's going to be all right when you come back in a couple of hours. And when we come back in a couple of hours, that place is pristine and clean. Looks like you could eat off the floor. Why? Because you mortified some stuff. You took out the trash first. You took out the trash first. You got rid of all that stuff that just accumulated in there. And that was against, you know, realtors will tell you that if you try to show a house that has too much stuff in it, it won't sell. You have to sell a house where it's roomy. And they can see the potential that they can have in that house when they move in. Well, the same thing with you. You got a lot of junk in your unrenewed mind you need to get rid of. You got a lot of stuff that's going on there. Now, actually, the Bible tells you to renew your mind. But what is really a better rendering of that is this. You need to operate out of the mind of the Spirit. There is a mind in you called the mind of Christ. It is part of the present-day mind of Jesus. That mind is able to tell you to the exact moment what Jesus is expecting you to do. When you tap into that mind and you're going through a problem, that mind will say, he says, rise up and walk this out in the faith. But many will go, I can't. And you know why? Because there's stuff in you that won't let you walk it out. You're still sense-ruled. See, it's hard to counsel a sense-ruled person. This is why when I start my counseling sessions, the first thing I'll tell them is, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to read this book, and you got to start praying in tongues. Why? Because I got to start getting rid of that carnality in them. I got to find an avenue. Because if I start counseling you, you're going to tell me, yeah, but you don't understand. You're not patient. You just don't get it. You're not loving and kind. And that's his carnality. Well, I'm going to have to combat that with what? Probably my own carnality. Depending upon how experienced I am in this thing. when I first started, that's what I did. And then I realized, you can't beat carnality against carnality, just equals to carnality. So I began to realize I got to come at you with the Spirit. Well, anything I say in the Spirit, because you're so carnal, you're not going to understand. So here's why I do too. Start praying in other tongues. Just start praying in the Spirit. Because you can't receive what I'm saying. You're going to think I'm trying to argue with you, and I'm not. I'm just telling you, you are sensual and carnal. This is the biggest problem in most marriages. This is the biggest problem in most churches. It's the biggest problem in most organizations. It's carnality. And the world is so clever, it puts that stuff in you from birth. Remember, the enmity that's in you, in your carnal mind, it came from birth. You can thank your great, 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 great grandfather, Adam. You can thank him for that. He is the one that gave you that. And you can't get rid of it on your own. You only can get rid of it by accepting what Jesus has done for your life. That's the only way you're going to get rid of it. Most Christians in the church are more moved by what they see, hear, or feel, their sense rule, more so than the word of God. They react instead of responding to the tests and trials in their life. Now, we all get weary. You start fighting the good fight of faith. You start walking in the faith. Yeah, your flesh is going to try and wear you out, man. It's going to come. It's going to go. You know why it does that? Why it fights you? There was a demon assigned to you. How many of you got everybody's got an angel. We all know we got an angel. But what we don't realize is you got a devil assigned to you as well, too. Now, the thing is this. Here's what most Christians don't realize. There are so many of us now that we should be wearing these demons out because they're just not that many of them. They cannot procreate. They cannot multiply. Because the devil's not a creator. He is a createe. So if we would simply quit walking in the flesh, the devil would just, you know what he does, many Christians? He goes, now, if I can get them hooked on this sequel of television shows, or on this internet, or on Facebook, or on Twitter, or on Instagram, if I can get them hooked on that, they'll be so stuck on that that they won't even be concerned about their spirituality. Oh, wow. Now, let me say this. I'm not preaching against any of those social medias. What I'm saying is the enemy is now using it to steal, kill, and destroy. There's nothing wrong with television. There's nothing wrong with the internet. Nothing wrong with radio. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But the enemy knows how to use that against you. When you begin to watch television, be careful of the commercials. That's where a lot of damage comes in. It's flu season. Have you gotten your flu shot? Do you have Theraflu? You need to put Theraflu. You got to have this in your medicine cabinet because you may wake up one morning and you wish you had it. Let me tell you something. You've got 1 Peter 2:24 sitting in your heart right now. And all you got to do is rise up and say, no. Himself bore my sins, sicknesses, and diseases in his own body in the tree. And by his stripes, I'm healed. You can't put sickness and disease on a righteous man. If you could, you could put it on God first. Can you put sickness and disease on God? If you can't put it on God, it don't look good on you either. Glory to God. Preach on, Brother Craig. That's good. Preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're talking about the faith, contending for the faith. Now, when I go into this next chapter, I'm going to rock some more worlds right before lunchtime. Okay? But I didn't come here to tickle your ears. I came here to set your heart right so you can learn how to walk in the faith.